Deuteronomy verse 24, it says, rise ye up. I want us to read it with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Rise ye up. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. I thought you just gave us the land. Why are we contending to possess it? Tell your neighbor, contend. I want to begin a series which we have titled Contend. Betting change and preserving destiny. The second verse I want to show you is Jude chapter 1 verse 3. It says in Jude chapter 1 verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly do what? I want your voice to be louder. Earnestly do what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Greek word for earnestly contend, I love it so much. In fact, that would have been the name of this service. But it would have been confusing. The Greek word is epagonizomai. I like the way it sounds because it communicates. See, it means in the Greek, literally stretch. The idea is when you are taking a race and you are competing with other fellows and there are other things to stop you. He said, epagonizomai, stretch, run, push yourself. That's what he's saying there. See, after me, earnestly contend. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know the painful part? The worldly people understand this thing more. The kingdom of darkness understands this thing more. But now God has given me the assignment to make us understand it. Have you ever heard this quote that says, an army of lions led by a sheep will be defeated by an army of sheep led by a lion? Have you ever heard that before? Let me say it again. Have you ever heard this quote that says, an army of lions led by a sheep will be defeated by an army of sheep led by a lion? Have you ever heard it before? So I'm telling you, do you know what they are trying to say? They are saying the kind of person in front of you, the kind of drive you can have, it can make you do things that even people that have more power than you will be scared. There is a way a lion will see a sheep coming after it will run. It is, the lion will ask himself, what does this sheep know that is so serious to come after me like this? Maybe I should take off. Are you following what I'm saying? Hey, God. So what does it mean to contend? To contend means to strive earnestly for something. To contend means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. To contend means to strive earnestly for something. It means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. It means to fight, to wrestle, and battle with oppositions to any given possibility. And to contend means to do everything possible to ensure that a goal is met. And I would like to write, everything possible and righteous. Amen. Let me go over it. What does it mean to contend? Contend means to strive earnestly for something. To contend means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure that something is done. To contend means to fight, to wrestle, and battle with oppositions to any given possibility. To contend means to do everything righteously possible to ensure that the goal is met. Ah, my God. T. think about it, God is saying, I have given you Sihon, the Amorite, and Heshbon and his land. He says, begin to contend with him. But he said, I've given you. Hey, God. Oh, my God. I remember one day. So I want to give you an idea what it means to contend. I remember one day, I had a flight from Port Harcourt to Abuja. And I was 20 minutes to the boarding time. But I was locked in holdup close to the airport. But this holdup was serious. And if you know Port Harcourt airports, like every other major airport, the distance from the road to the boarding counter, it's a journey. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You can be on that holdup, your flight will go. I saw the time. First of all, I already know that they close the counter. How many minutes to the boarding time? 30 minutes to the boarding time. This time around, 20 minutes to the boarding time, I was not at the counter. And I was inside the car, sitting down. And the holdup was then, pow, you move small. Pow, the car will move small. I sat down there and do like this. If I follow this thing, I will miss this flight. My eye will clear. It will happen black and white because it has happened before. If you want to laugh, laugh everywhere. Don't hide it. So while everybody was sitting in the car, maintaining steeze and composure, you know what I did? I opened the door, came out, carried my box on my head, and started running. Oh my God. I began to run. I ran and ran and ran. Then I saw a bike at the gate of the airport where that new journey starts. I said, sir, how much is it from this point to the boarding counter? He said, 1.5. I said, I'll give you. No. How much is the flight now? 150K, Abi. I better lose 1.5 than. I climbed this bike. And in 5 minutes, I said, dodge everything dodgeable. See, I was the last person they checked in. As I checked in like this, I said, close the counter, bam. And I just entered. That would mean to contend. No, I would have been sitting down there. Don't worry, it will move. It will move. Don't worry, it will move so that I will enter in like an executive. Thank you. You executively missed that flight. What does it mean to contend? Number one, it means to strive earnestly for something. It means to stretch and put yourself under pressure to ensure something is done. It means to fight, to wrestle and battle with oppositions to any given possibility. It means to do everything possibly righteous to ensure that the goal is met. And let me tell you, the concept and the idea of contending is not strange to the scriptures. It's not strange. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened till it be accomplished? That stretch, you know, this generation, that soft life, I always want soft life. Hey, God. You know, I was advising a young man some days ago, and we're talking, and the talk led into struggling with sexual immorality and all of that. How that, oh, when he sees ladies, sometimes he's just, you know what I told him? I said, you see that breast that's looking soft like this? That breast that's looking soft and succulent to touch. I'm telling you, that soft thing can make your life very hard. I said, that soft thing, it can make your life so hard, you look back and say, Kai, you know, makes sense. It can make your life so difficult, you will rethink everything you've been thinking about. What you call temptation is a trap. When I was done, he said, Pastor, you have a way of resetting somebody's head. No. How am I straightened to be accomplished? John chapter 9, verse 4, you see Jesus speaking again. Look at the statement. He says, I must walk the works of him that sent me. I must. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not I will, not I shall. I must walk the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can walk. Let me tell you, even this contending I'm talking about, it's within a certain season of your life. There is a point in your life that if you don't contend at that point, you are late.
No matter how skillful you are with the ball, once you are 35, 40, you can no longer be a star footballer. Do you hear what I just said? If you hit 50, no matter how, see, you have to find another vocation. If you want to be a star footballer, you must start continuing from when you are 1 to the age of 25. Are you guessing what I'm saying? This thing is serious. I know what I'm saying. What I'm saying. Your destiny, this thing is serious. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see how many people are like me in that car. Major things are happening for their future. Major things are happening in the spirit, and they are there inside the car, waiting for when the car will move, when they're supposed to have come out and run. Are you getting me? In ministry, as a pastor, there are sermons that have to do with the core of the doctrine of Christ. And you know that we do that here a lot. Are you with me? There are sermons that is not just about doctrine, it's about your spiritual growth. But there are some sermons that encompass all of them. The doctrine, your spiritual growth, and your future. This is one of them. See, if you don't have this thing, you will not grow in anything. If you don't have what I'm talking about, what I want to share with you, you will not grow in anything, nothing. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. John chapter 4 verse 32. He says, but he said unto them, have meat to eat that ye know not of. Then in verse 34, he says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you know what he's saying? That means what I call food is I will do the will of him that sent me. That's the language of a contender. Are you with me? You know, they said Isaac Newton. There was a time. Is it either Isaac Newton or Thomas Edison? There was a time he was so engrossed in his work, his wife brought food for him. He did not know when he ignored the food and kept on working. So the wife had kept the food for 12 hours. She went and collected the food back. By the time he went to the place for the food, I forgot I've eaten. I went back. You know what I'm saying? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2, talking about Jesus. I know I'm opening many scriptures, even if you cannot read all of them at once, just be writing them. You look at them later. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Say after me, endured the cross. Say after me, endured the cross. Despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory! Those are words that describe stretching. Look at Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. Hey! 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Hey, my God. That means, I was doing pastor's training some weeks ago during the anniversary, and I told them, we're talking about the daily devotional life of a pastor. And one of the final thing we said is, a pastor must know how to fight spiritual warfare. If you don't know when there is battle in the spirit, you cannot be a pastor. Because there are battles, whether you like it or not, there is a battle going on. Are you following me? There is a battle over the lives of your people. You know, when you are a pastor, you are not just fighting for yourself. You are fighting for yourself, you are fighting for people, you are fighting for your family, you are fighting for your children. You must be a fighter. Are you with me? Paul said, we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We wrestle. You can look at things happening around you and say, I see the hand of darkness. Then tomorrow morning, your wife asks you, are you eating? You say, no. There is war. Nobody goes with, you cannot see a soldier with sword and sandwich like this. Are you getting me? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Kai, that will be your testimony. Yeah. And finally, still on Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. There is a reason why I'm reading all the scriptures, so that it will encompass the whole concept of contending. Because some of you are wondering, what are we contending for? What is this whole contending about? Let me tell you, you contend for everything. You will contend for everything. Let me read first. Praise the Lord. Everybody read with me. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. It's, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. You know, sometimes I ask myself, if you are not reading your Bible, what are you reading? It says, so run that ye may obtain. That means if you don't run, you will not obtain. If you, oh my God. See, there are many things. Maybe I'll get to it, but let me drop it now. There are many myths people have in their mind. They think that, okay, in 5 years' time, things will get better. It's not always like that. It says, so run, run, run. You know that nobody always get, they're always used to, don't worry, it will eventually work out. Sometimes it will choke you, it will not work out. If you don't run, if you don't do some things, there are some things you will not see. If you don't do so, are you getting what I'm saying? Remember, there's one rubbish song that used to rain that time. Kasera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Hey, I will show you that even God, there are some things God wants to happen in your life, but without you content, it cannot work. You will learn to know that there are things, there's something called praying and praying enough. Imagine Jesus is about to die and he's telling his disciples, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Well, it's time up. Now is the hour of darkness. The prince of the world cometh. That means he was saying, if you guys cannot pray for 1 hour, this thing that is coming, this darkness that is coming will sweep you off your feet. And did it sweep them? Yes. There are things that if you don't do, there are challenges we will meet in the future you are not ready for. Are you getting me? And God is showing me to prepare you. In fact, by the Spirit, I'm seeing something in the next 10 years. I cannot even really explain it. When I pray and I look into the Spirit, I'm seeing it 10 years from now. If we don't prepare, there is a wave of darkness coming. I'm serious. And the last time Jesus appeared to me, he said, teach and keep teaching. Teach and keep teaching. Raise for me soldiers. Raise for me strong men. Just keep raising them. Praise the Lord. He says, know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Then he says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Hi, I wish I could break down that word, temperate in all things. It's a mechanical term from the word tempering. It is the root word from where you get temper. You know, somebody says, have you ever heard something like, that guy has high temper? And what they are trying to say is that he gets angry easily. Then low temper means it takes a long time for him to get angry. You have actually reversed it. What they mean by tempering is that when a metal has high temper, it takes a lot for you to break it. Are you getting me? So it is ductile. So it's a ductile metal. So its temper is high. So it can be tempered into different forms where it will not break. But when it is brittle, small thing it has broken. Please, I hope you... don't worry, I read engineering. That's what's helping me. But praise the Lord. I hope I'm not confusing you. So when they say every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things, meaning this guy has high temper. You cannot break him easily. No matter the things you put him under, he is temperate. Are you following me? Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. Verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Then he says in verse 27, but I keep my body under. Oh my God. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Are you following this? This is another dimension of contending. This is another dimension of contending. So what are we contending for? Let me give you an endless list. No matter what I tell you, just add dot, 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 it continues. You contend for your spiritual life. We contend for the gospel. We contend for our future. We contend for our destiny. We contend for the supernatural. Are you following me? Contend for your purity. You contend for your prosperity. We contend for our spiritual lives. We contend for the gospel. We contend for our future and our destiny. We contend for the supernatural. We contend for the truth. For the truth. We contend for our purity. We contend for our prosperity. You contend for your health. Are you following this? I've given you a list. throughout this month, we'll be touching them one by one. Wherever we stop, we'll continue the next time. Maybe it will be a camp meeting, maybe next year or 2 years after. Glory! So quickly, why must we contend? Number one, we must contend to bet a change. We must contend to bet a change. Things don't change with time, like I've just told you. You know the first law of motion that says everybody will be in a perpetual state of rest or a perpetual state of uniform motion, except it is acted upon by an external force. Everybody, are you with me? A body will be in a perpetual state of rest or a perpetual state of motion unless acted upon by an external force. Are you with me? You contend to bet a change. Deuteronomy chapter 2 from verse 2 to 3. It says, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have come past this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Have you got to the point where I have been here long enough? Jesus. I have been here long enough to bet a change. I have been here long enough. It's time. It's time for change. To bet a change. Isaiah chapter 66 from verse 8. It says, who has heard such a thing? Shall the nation be born at once? And shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? But as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That means if you don't get to the point when you start travailing, you will not bring forth your children. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That means you have to bet a change. Let me tell you something here. I like the analogy used here, the analogy of a woman giving birth. You know, there are different seasons in a man's life. There is a planting season. In the same way in pregnancy, there is an incubation season when the woman takes in the sperm and gets pregnant. And everybody is fine with her. She's carrying the belly, the baby, and all of that. A time comes when she has to push for that child. And the child starts saying, I want to come out. Labor begins. One of the signs you know that you are long overdue for a change is when your labor is too much. Are you following what I'm saying? When you are like, what is going on in my life? What did it happen? When the labor is too much, that is time for, it's time to push. It's time to travel. You know the problem? People are trying to rest when it's time to push. All the signs around them is telling them it is labor time. All the things they are seeing in their life is telling them it is labor time. Now it's time to travel. But they say, no, they want to relax. No, that's why to continue. Tell your neighbor, content. For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. So why must we contend? To bet a change. Number two, we contend to fulfill our destiny. Oh my God. I just showed you one in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24. He said, I have given you the land, but possess that to contend it. So I've already given you, that means right now, is your own. But if you don't contend, you will not, it's not be your own. Imagine, it's your own, but if you don't contend, it will not be your own. To fulfill your destiny. So God has written something about you, but you have to contend. You know, I usually say this, some of you have heard it. You don't get to your future by walking. You get to your future by stretching. If you are waiting for the natural order of things, but don't worry, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'll get there. Sometimes it's not like that. You have to keep stretching and stretching. Praise the Lord. John Maxwell says in his book, Essentials of Growth, he said, one of the signs that you are growing is that you feel the law of the stretch between where you are and where you ought to be. When you are not feeling any stretch, chances are you are not growing. Are you getting me? Philippians 3 verse 13. I know I'm opening very many verses. I'm just trying to show you from the Bible. Philippians 3 verse 13 to 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, that's part of the problem. We easily get satisfied. But Paul is saying, I forget those things which are behind. I forget. Thank God for yesterday, but yesterday has gone. Oh, are you with me? Thank God for all that God did in the past. But there is a future in front. You know, after the anniversary in Port Harcourt Church, somebody met me. Because that anniversary was, anybody who was there knows that meeting was something else. from day one to day five. We closed the service on Sunday. In the afternoon, the Holy Ghost broke out. Like people that were around in church, there was a move of God. After Holy Ghost after party. Somebody met me. Glory. I was asking me, so are you leaving all this crowd and all that? And I said, God has said I should go. Say after me, forward. Say after me, forward. You have to be like this. If not, you'll be like Lot's wife. You'll be looking back. Nobody drives forward looking backward without having an accident. You'll be looking back. Oh, I lost this. That time was great. Oh, that year was that time. It was so great. I lost that. Brother, do you want to pass to the past? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before. I have found out that no matter how great a thing is today, if it does not become greater in the future, it will be nothing. Once upon a time, if you had a Peugeot, you know that car was like this. There was a time in this country that was the official government car. Do you know that? Yeah, some people are surprised. That 544, thank you. Peugeot 544, that one that is like this. There was a time in Nigeria, that was the official car of the president and all government officials. Drive that thing on the road. In fact, VIO will beg you, say, please, 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 leave the road. Let's see verse 14. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That means there is a mark. And you will not get there by just walking. It is by pressing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Can you tell your neighbor, I press? Tell somebody else, I press. You know, there was one time Israel was fighting. They were fighting, and at a point, it looked like they were going to be defeated. And then they said, you know what? We can do something about this. The Philistines were destroying the Israelites everywhere. And they began to think, what can we do? What can we do? They said, okay, we know something. Our prophet. Where is Moses? They went and dragged Moses to the field and said, Aaron, hold his hand. Hold his hand. As long as those hands are lifted. Overnight, the fight that was so intense, the battle changed. That means there is a way a man can press. Has it happened to you before where those of you who are going to university in the semester, by 8 weeks, you felt like, this course, I've given up, I'll fail. Then somebody just said, can you just start reading now? Then you started reading. 2 weeks to the exam. You were pressing. Somehow, exam day, you now feel, child, I would have read more. Because you saw the effect of your 2 weeks pressing. Yes, sir. Are you following this? Yes, sir. That's how life is many times. I press toward the mark. For the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Say after me, I press. So, you must contend to fulfill your destiny. I want to share one, but I don't know how long that would take. If you read the Bible, you will discover that God, it seems like God had always wanted to change the name of Jacob to Israel. How do I know? After Israel's name, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. God started making prophetic statements about him. You will see, let me show you. You will see scriptures like Genesis chapter 48 from verse 1 to 2. It says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick, and he's here with his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, now pay attention to verse 2. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. The Bible says, and Israel strengthened himself. I know you can say he was using it interchangeably. But it seemed like from the time God changed his name, whenever God wanted to do something serious, he would not use Jacob, use Israel. You will see Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. It says, they sent a word into Jacob. He lighted upon Israel. If you also discover, the nation of Israel is never called the nation of Jacob. It's always called the nation of Israel. Do you remember how that name came? He was wrestling with the man. Wrestling with the man in the night. And I will go there before, towards the end of this sermon. He was wrestling with the man. And the man said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, today, your name has been changed to Israel. Jacob did not even know that his name had changed. But because he was wrestling, that's why they asked him that question. There are some questions that are only for those who we wrestle. There is a way you will fast and the way you will be praying. We pray in the time God say, what do you want? God wants to give you.
Tell your neighbor, content.
That means you can be satisfied thinking that the way we are, now so you're supposed to be. You are just like that. You will go to heaven and find out that God said, if you pressed more, this is what you're supposed to have become. Even doctors will tell you that if this person fought more, he would have lived. They will tell you that some cancer patients, they fought. And as they fought, they overcame cancer. Does that make sense? It does not make scientific sense, but it makes spiritual sense. Number three, why do we contend? We contend to preserve the treasures of the past. We contend to preserve the treasures of the past. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence, Jude 1 verse 3. When I gave all diligence right unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the faith which was once delivered. 1 verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. That means if you don't contend for the faith that was delivered can be lost. Are you with me? Somebody say contend. Contend. Shout it louder. Contend. Contend. You know this phrase in our former national anthem. The labor of our heroes past shall never be in vain. Let me tell you, there is a way you will handle the thing, it can be in vain. Oh, you can handle it wrongly, it can be in vain. After all the things that the children of Israel suffered in the wilderness, entered the promised land, all the things they went through in Egypt, they now built the nation of Israel. A time came when Zedekiah, a very weak king, started misbehaving, brought Asheroth, all those funny gods, the same Israel that was brought out of slavery from Egypt, they enter into now slavery in Babylon. That's why you have the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations was just Jeremiah lamenting about after everything. So after everything, there is a way you've not contend all the things your parents suffered for. Some of you don't know that your life is actually supposed to answer some prayers of generations before you. Some are misbehaving because they don't know that their prayers that their fathers and great-grandparents prayed that was not answered in their own generation. It was in God said, okay, you know what? Your life has gone. It's your grandchild that will take this thing. Then you see the boy go and join court. Tomorrow now he's doing aye, they slide his head. Prayer that somebody was fasting and praying in the village. Oh God, this family, raise somebody from this family. Raise somebody from this family. Because he does not understand that you need to contend to preserve the labors of the past. Are you getting me? Yes, then the mother will be looking at heaven and say, hey! This one that we were crying over. Say after me, God's labor over my life. The labors over my life shall be preserved. Amen. Number four, we contend to preserve the future of those connected to us. You know, you can ask some people, with the way you are going, the people following after you, will they find the pathway? Number five, finally, we contend to reverse the mistakes of the past. This one is very important. We contend to reverse the mistakes of the past. How many of you remember the story of Esau and Jacob? How that Esau was somehow deceived by his brother and collected the birthright. You remember? And part of the problem was that Esau was not even contending. In fact, he had no clue of spiritual things. He thought Jacob deceived him twice by collecting the birthright and collecting the blessing. He did not know that Jacob deceived him only once. Follow me. Are you with me? Yes, can I share something with you? Yes, the birthright was the right to the blessing. And, you know, when you learn what I want to say, you will not be talking anyhow. All those things say, I bet Kale my star. You know, people used to play. Young people say, see your big head fish. Say, don't worry, I know say my own like pure mango. Don't worry. Don't be playing and be saying nonsense. If we check the Bible, the birthright was not something you can hold. It was a spiritual position. Jacob was cooking food. If you actually go to Israel and see the porridge that Jacob cooked, it's not you'll be angry. It's not yam and beans that you eat in your house. It's just one red kind something. Some people say it's whitish, but somehow I don't like that kind of thing. Esau came back. I said, I'm dying. Oh, I'm dying. I need food. And Jacob said, I have something. He said, but give me your birthright. Me, I knew that. That thing was Rebecca. There is no way Jacob would have known that thing without his mother putting hand inside. It was Rebecca that caused that thing. Talk for another day. How did he know? He said, give me your birthright. Do you know what Esau said? He said, what is my birthright to me? Hey. Oh my God. What is my birthright to me? He said, take it. Give me food. And if you say, take it and you'll give me food forever, you have sense. But he said, take it and give me food. Food. And this guy ate food. And not knowing that he had sold both. Let me tell you something. Even if Jacob did not want to deceive him, he would have still lost the blessing. Even if from that day, okay. Now, there's an argument. There is no record that Rebecca was the one that taught Jacob how to do that. There's no record. So I cannot say it's Rebecca. But think about this. Why was it that when Jacob had and Rebecca planned to deceive him, why didn't he come back early? Why did Esau not come back early? Why didn't something else happen? Let me tell you, even if he wanted to come back early, that balance in the spirit realm has been changed. Even if he caught the animal early and was coming back, something will delay him. Because you can't, you collected, you have already sold birthright. You cannot come and collect the blessing. You have lost it already. Are you with me? He was deceived only once. It was the law in the spirit that Jacob did. By shaking that thing, there was no way Esau would have gotten it. There was no way. There was no way. That's how some people, they have done some things. No matter how, have you not seen people who, the time they want to send them money to their account, it will not work. All the banks will shut down. If you go, it will bounce back. No, you think it's a joke. I'm telling you what happens in the spirit. These are things that people go on every day. There are battles in the spirit that people face every day. They have made wrong statements, wrong transactions in the spirit. They have been careless somehow. And when this church started, when we were 3 months, is it 3 months or 1 month old, a man came to see me. He said he was passing our church and light from our banner entered him. He walked into the room and said, big man, very hefty man. He said, sir, my whole life is upside down. My whole life is upside down. I don't know. I cannot put anything together. As I lay down to pray for him, I said, hey, you slept with a girl 13 years ago. He started confessing. He said, I was in Kaduna. I had this, there was this girl in our compound. We just had sex that night. He had sex with the lady, and 1 week later, he had 7 companies. They all closed down. You don't understand. From that time till when he met me, this man had become a pauper. He can't even get driver job. Let me tell you how big he was. His father was a naval officer in this country. Like, on national level. Now, he cannot even get a driving job because he crew in the night and went into the wrong place. Praise the Lord. To reverse the mistakes of the past. But you see, after Esau made the mistake, Isaac gave him a window of opportunity for him to press. In spite of his mistake, God, by his mercy, still gave me a window of opportunity. And I know that this preaching I want to share with you is not popular. Look at Genesis 27 verse 40. Genesis 27 verse 40. Now, Esau had missed the blessing. Jacob had gotten the blessing and moved on. And then, if you know the story, Esau was crying. Is there not even one for me? Is there not even one blessing for me? And Isaac said, I have sustained him with corn and wine. I have sustained him. Then go back to verse 39. Finally, it looked like Isaac from his spirit had mercy. He says, and Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, that there shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Verse 40. And by the sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass. Hey. Barakate sukopalia. when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. That means he's saying a time will come that in spite of the fact of that you made this mistake, a time will come that an opportunity will be created for you. If you contend, you will break out. See, many times you need to contend to reverse mistakes in the past. There are some things that we have done. There are some mistakes, there are some wrong steps we took. But God knows how to position things around a man's life that if he can take advantage of the opportunities that God is bringing, you will break out. I pray for somebody, you will break out. Amen. I said you will break out. Amen. Some of you are breaking out already. Amen. Lost time is being restored. Amen. I cannot hear you. Amen. Lost time is being restored. Amen. Lost opportunities are being restored. Amen. Lost breakthroughs are being restored. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. To reverse the mistakes of the past. Holy Spirit, please open their eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Have you ever seen that scripture that says, yeah, the time has come, the set time has come, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion? For yeah, the time has come, the set time has come. Have you seen something like that before? Usually, when it looks like somebody has been suffering, going through circle, believing God for something, a time will come where God will start making him arise and pray. Because an open door is coming in the spirit. Sometimes, if I say this one, you may misunderstand. Some people may think it's because I'm a pastor of this church. That's why I'm saying it. Sometimes, God can just bring a church close to you. That may just be a sign that I want to start something new. He can bring a friend to you. You can just say that, this season, I need to rise up and pray. In fact, sometimes, you just wake up in the night. Every 3 o'clock, why am I awake like this? Sometimes, you don't even know what you are contending against, but just start praying. So how do you contend? Number one, response to divine hunger and order. Response to divine hunger and order. Usually when you're not where God wants you to be, you will have this hunger for something new. Hunger. So that hunger within you to contend is the beginning. But then he will also give you a picture of what that end should look like. That's order, divine order. That this is how it's supposed to be. This is how you're supposed to be. Sometimes what will happen, say, he will look, make you see somebody. Say, you see the way that person is. That's your destiny. That's how you're supposed to be like. He can show you somebody and say, you see that person. That's what you're supposed to look like. That's the picture of order. But it will begin from a hunger within you. Some of you quench that hunger. You just get to the point where you know that this is my spiritual life. Mm-mm. I know this is not supposed to be. You look at yourself. No. I can't keep on going on like this. You know, I asked this a question one day. That was the workers' meeting. I said, how many of you in this year, since January to December, you have read a book? One book from cover to cover. I didn't ask people to raise their hands. Let your conscience. one book. In the future, in the place you are going to, where you see yourself in the next 5 years, one book. Have you read? One. They know that they have not read one. One! They know. That's part of contending. Contending through knowledge. We'll talk about that later. Some of them, they know, once I carry Bible, once I carry book, I will sleep. You can't continue like that way. Are you getting me? If it means to stand up and say, you see, me, my future will not end here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you, is your character. You know that this character, it has landed you inside trouble. You keep going in cycles and cycles and cycles. That the same things happen there. You have gone to another place. It's happening in the same place. You've gone to another place. You need to stop and say, come. I have, this thing has to change. Am I talking to you? I know this service may sound a little bit hard, but I'm saying it because I love you. The Bible says, it is God that worketh in thee. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 13. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So he can work in you. You start asking yourself, no. I remember before God started speaking to me about New Breed, 2016. I'm not saying you must do what I'm asking. I did though. But 2016 was my youth service. I got into that year and I just had a knowing that I have to fast and pray every day. Now, I was not breaking by 6, many times by 2, sometimes 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, but every day in that family house, NCCA family house, they know David. David know they chop breakfast. He will keep the breakfast the afternoon. Then in the night, rakapakatukapa, shekenteka, lumbrakata, enzatapa, rokopekete. Sometimes you can, within you can know that there is more to me. It's not like you are doing badly. You are not failing. No. It's not like your life is upside down. No. But within you, you know, this cannot be all there is to me. That thing you are feeling is a sign that it's time to press. Are you getting me? You know, sometimes the reason why God wants you to press is that the version of you is not ready for the version of your future. Are you hearing me? Remember when Jacob was praying? That's number two. How do you contend? By desperate prayers. Remember when Jacob was praying? He prayed to the point where before the angel asked him, what do you want? They touched the hollow of his thigh. So every time you saw Jacob, he was walking like this. It was a sign that he had to change. There are some things in your life God has to remove. It's called the dealings of God. There are some, the version of you may not be ready for the version of your future. The version. It's difficult to communicate things like this because these are the real things that make for progress. The real things that make for progress. The real things that make for progress. Let me tell you, if you pour anointing on the wrong version of that man, it will still waste. Did I not just tell you right now about Israel? The same Israel that God removed from slavery carried their own self into slavery. Because what happened in Nineveh was not just that Pharaoh was persecuting them. Egypt had entered inside them. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt had not left them. Am I talking to you people? They came out of Egypt, but Egypt had not come out of them. So eventually they carried themselves back to Egypt with a different name called Babylon. The version of you needs to change. There are some people, they've never, ever been consistent in their life. Never. They've never been people who will wake up by 6 a.m. today and pray. Tomorrow 6 a.m. Next tomorrow 6 a.m. Next tomorrow 6 a.m. After 3 days, they say, make go take breaks more. No, 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 no. They don't, hey God. They've never, ever. Some people, they've never prayed for 30 minutes. Some people, they've never fasted. Never. They've never fasted. Never. They have an allegiance to beans. Every morning, they must go and pay homage to this new God called beans. And we're going and bread. No. And you wake up some morning, you can feel God saying, pray. 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 You can't go on like this. Pray. And that's why we're hard on church attendance. Because some people, I come today, I miss 3 Sundays. Because of that. I know if you just decon like that, just decon. Are you with me? They don't know how to be. And you know the problem? The spirits that we are dealing with are more consistent than us. The things we are dealing with, I remember reading my Bible when the Bible says Jesus was trying to pray for the woman that was bent over. He says, how this woman being a daughter of Abraham, can't this woman be made free being bound 18 years? Being bound how many years? 18 years. So the demon that bent her over was there like that. Didn't the demon tie and say, make I take breaks more. Make I just stretch myself. So the woman will just come out free. No, the demon stayed there. Say, you will be bent. 18 years. So you must learn the rigor. You must get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You must learn the rigor of saying, today we go again. I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. I will be what he has called me to be. I will not stop halfway. I've not gotten a job, but my future is great. Are you with me? We are, you know, some weeks ago, we were celebrating Bishop Oyedepo. Let me tell you, if you don't know anything about that man is a die-hard man. Go and if you have the old tapes, 82, 81,
82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. As at 1987, they said the biggest instrument in their church was bench. 1987, this was 6 years in ministry. And Papa was still saying, we are a prosperous church. We will be prosperous. That is, some people, 5 years of believing God.
God, how far? Lord, I'm waiting in your corner. You, safe, how far now?
5 years is long, safe. Some people, what I mean, 5 years is long. Ah, 2 years, I'll go. God, they waste time.
If you listen to messages in 1987, Papa will be preaching, I'm coughing. He'll be preaching with coughing and say, we will take over. We will take over. It was in Grass Cathedral. The whole church was with grass. Grass. That's where I wrote word liberation. You can imagine, you every day you come for service inside a grass church and they wrote word. At least let's take this village first.
But stay in power. Le karabasha kata imbratata.
When thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt do what? Break his yoke. A time will come. It's called tipping point. It's called tipping point. Where you learn how to stay. You stand your ground. You keep on fighting. You keep on holding on. I will not give up now. I will not stop now. I will keep on praying. I will keep on moving. And suddenly, what you now realize that as you were stretching and contending, you were changing. By the time you got to the breakthrough, you have become a different person. Tell your neighbor, content. Some of you need to fan to flame the hunger. Look at your destiny. Look at your life. Where have you been heading? Look at your future. What are you doing? Oh, God gave you that idea. What have you been doing about it? Have you been reading about it? God gave you that cooking idea. He gave you that music idea. He gave you that business idea. He gave you something. What have you done about it? One day, it will be great. One day, it will be great. Stand up and stop sleeping. Praise the Lord. Some people's own is even worse. They allow all kinds of things to distract them. All kinds of things. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, verse 4, it says, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not resisted unto blood. Pastor, I'm struggling in pornography. I know. I'm remnants of God in Christ Jesus. I know. But now, break that phone. That phone that has big screen that you can be watching that pornography, give it out. Sow it as a seed. Send it to Pastor David. I'll hold it for you. So, buy that one that is small. When you want to press it again, you just see blue light. Say, worship God. It's a blue light. He says, you have not resisted unto blood. Do you know how much distraction is doing to you? You don't know. When you're supposed to receive a divine idea, Satan will bring that picture. Content. Do you want to contend this morning? Stand up on your feet.